So we have some guests this evening. You know how they say there's nothing new under the sun?
Right.
Wrong. Well, I'm not so sure it's new, but I've never seen anything like it. So at the show, I was kind of snuggled in between these two booths. On one side of me was a bamboo company, and they have their bikes are actually being made in Africa and sent to the United States. And the other side was a company called Roundtail.
Okay.
All right. So there are no chainstays. There are no seatstays. There are two circles at the back of this bike.
I saw the picture of it. It's pretty interesting looking.
Well, let me tell you, after 3 days, I know a lot about this bike. At least I know what they're saying about this bike. Uh-huh. I did not get a chance to ride it. There were a couple of people who rode it. I think that there was nothing more attractive than this bike. No matter, there were some gorgeous, gorgeous handmade bikes at this show. But this one just, you know, you took one look and you took a second look and you took a third look. People, it just stopped traffic.
It turned a lot of heads.
And I was right next to it. So it was pretty interesting to watch. And there were cameras and can I take this picture? And, you know, and the people who made this bike were very dynamic. So we're going to talk to the person who got the brainstorm, the epiphany that said, why don't we put circles instead of a rear triangle on a bike? His name's Lou Tortola, and we'll be talking to him in a little while.
Okay.
And then we're going to do the Canadian Tandem Rally.
Okay.
So it comes up in May, so it's an early rally, and it'll probably be the same weather as we have here. We'll ask them. David and Brenda Vanderveld, and they're going to be talking to us about four great days of riding. You have a calendar. I have some news. There's actually a lot of news. Of course there's a lot of news.
Always.
So I guess we should go get our first guest, huh?
Okay.
Okay, Lou Tortola from Roundtail. Welcome to the Outspoken Cyclist.
Well, thank you, Dan. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you.
Well, we met over last weekend at the San Diego Custom Bike Show, and we actually ended up spending a lot of time together since your booth was right next to mine, and you were the hit of the show.
Well, thank you. It was such a pleasure meeting you, of course, and enjoying the traffic that came through and appreciated my bike's design. And, of course, I appreciated everything that you had to share with me, too. And it was so nice to get to know you. And thank you for inviting me to be here.
Well, that's awesome. So we're going to tell you about Lou's new bike, which is the Roundtail. And if you want to get to see what it looks like, if you're interested, there is a website, roundtailbikes.com, roundtailbikes.com. And I would say, as I said, that your bike was the hit of the show. So before we go into a lot of details about the bike, tell me a little bit about Lou's background.
Well, my primary business today centers around a technology company that powers digital signage throughout North America. Those are those screens that you might see in banks and convenience stores with weather information, many times advertisements and the like. And our technology allows businesses to program and schedule and send content to those digital screens simultaneously or remotely from anywhere. And that's called digital signage. And I've in the past been involved with creating innovation in industries that are in their infancy, including this digital signage industry, and developing registered patents even for these types of technologies. So I've really have leveraged a lot of my experience that I've gained over the years in many of my business ventures to build this particular bike, promote it accordingly, and launch it into the marketplace. And much of my other background, I was trained in architectural technology and design. So, you know, I really appreciate form and function and utilize that kind of skill set to come up with this design. And more so, I'm an avid cyclist. Last year I had a great year. I've been cycling for about 20 or 25 years. And usually I might do 1,000 to 1,500 miles per year. And last year I did about 3,000 miles. It was just one of those years that I felt the need to cycle more. And this is a banner year for me. I'm turning 50 in July. My daughter's getting married. And now I have this bike that's born.
I know a little bit about the story, but why don't you tell the story of how you came up with this new rear non-triangle for a bike, which is better known as a circle.
Well, it's pretty simplistic at the end of the day, but yet it hasn't been done. And when people see it now, they appreciate it very quickly. When I was riding, I'm always thinking about many things as I ride. And over the years, I've never accepted the fact that the bicycle has remained exactly as it is all of these decades. And always had this thought in the back of my mind that one day I would like to influence bicycle design, but I never really set out to design anything with, you know, a goal in mind to do it by this date, this time, or this afternoon sort of thing. I just kind of knew in the back of my mind that I would look for an opening in a vision that one day would allow me to improve the bicycle. And so I had this that void there, and then I would continually kind of just look at form and the way people were riding and what they were doing on a bike, especially when we're in a large group of my cycling colleagues, and you can see what they're doing and maybe look for something. And one day in late October, early November of 2010, I looked over at someone riding beside me, and I saw what could happen, which would be to eliminate the path of strain travel from the bottom bracket shell and the rear fork directly to the seat, because today the diamond-shaped bicycle, all of that strain travels through the vertical posts right to your butt. And I said, well, look, you know, the Roman arch is very, very strong, and why isn't that strain being dissipated by, traveling in a circular path and not a straight path? And then immediately I saw the circle hit me hard as a potential alternative of design. And as I finished that bicycle ride that evening, I went home and opened my computer and started adjusting a bike by introducing the circle in lieu of the straight lines that are the chainstay, the seat stay, and the seat tube. And it worked perfectly on paper. And then I set out to build the bike.
So these circles, and if anybody's actually looking at them on a computer, and I have a picture of the one that was at the show, actually. These circles, actually, there are two of them, one on either side of the wheel, and at the bottom, of course, you have your dropout where your wheel fits in. But at the top, it becomes one circle again. Is that correct?
Right. The one circle... Well, the two circles butt in the front, creating a bullnose that's connected for about 3 inches, and then the two circles start separating, which really allows for a good aerodynamic form there. Air that would have otherwise hit the vertical surfaces of the previous design are now flowing through these circles quite nicely. But in the front, the two circles touch, and towards the rear, they open to allow the wheel to travel through them. And it works. It works very nicely.
So how does it change the wheel base of the bicycle? Does it give it... all right, so I guess that's the wrong question. How does it change the ride of the bicycle? Is it more of a sport bicycle, a touring bicycle, a racing bicycle? How are you defining this bicycle in terms of ride characteristics?
Well, you know, the bottom bracket shell, the seat, and the rear forks are in the exact same position as before, so there's no change there at all. When you visualize the rear of the bike, you see the triangle that connects those three points, and that's been replaced by a perfect circle. And so that is allowing the bike to be more comfortable over long distances is my feelings. And it's proven because as I ride the bike, I could certainly feel the forgiveness of vertical compliance that before was very rigid and hard on the back and on the tailbone as you hit anything. I think this bike could be used in every vertical of bicycling, whether it's road, a mountain for sure, or city bikes and even kids bikes from just an appearance and coolness point of view. It's a choice of a different look to the bike. I'm not sure what's going to happen in the future of acceptance of what people will feel is a place for this bike, but I think that will define itself. But I don't really see any limits, and nor do I see it being just the bike for that or just the bike for this. It really is very easily and very simply a different way to, you know, build the rear of the bike. And it really surprises me, to be honest with you. There's I've spoken with so many people in the last number of days now that have seen this bike, and the people who see it firsthand, as you did, get it really quickly and appreciate it very quickly and can like it quickly, because there's nothing really aesthetically wrong with it as far as I've either been told or seen. But when people look at it in a photograph or on paper, they quickly find fault with it and say, oh, it's never going to work, it's never going to be production, it's never going to be this or that. But they haven't had it in front of them and haven't really felt it. And so I believe the bicycling community in the future will find their own comfort levels with its use, and they'll be happy to have a choice of something different. And there's a lot of other benefits where you can get to the rear of the what used to be the seat post and bottom bracket shell very quickly now, and it's open, and you can clean that area nicely. There is the chainstay is curved at the bottom so that it doesn't come into contact with the chain so easily from a wear point of view and all those other things. So
those are good points, Lou. You know, those are things, even though I heard the spiel about a million times while I was in San Diego, those are things that I didn't get to. Let me remind our listeners that we're speaking with Lou Tortola from Roundtail Bikes up in Windsor, Canada. How did you choose Paul Taylor as the builder for this bike? And this is only a steel bike, the one that we saw at the
right
show.
I'm already speaking with other good people in the industry that are being used by other OEMs, high-level people that I'm really excited about and their interest. Paul Taylor came to me the same day that I thought of the design, because I do things very fastly and don't waste any time. And what I did do is quickly envisioned this bike to have been then a stainless steel bike. And I was searching for material because I felt that if I found the material that was that would have lent itself to this design, I could initiate fabrication fairly quickly. And in searching the material, I came across a company called KVA who
right.
Boasted their stainless materials. And in their website, there was a flawlessly built stainless steel bike that I could see with my good awareness of metal fabrication that it was well built. And there was a little decal on it that said Taylor Bicycles.
Got it.
I quickly Googled that, found Paul's website, fell in love with the story of Paul Taylor, his Australian history of a racer, 18 years of building bikes, his passion for the best of the best in paint, and he really did an amazing job on the paint finish of this.
He painted it too. Bike. Interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
He does all of that.
Yeah.
He does it with a lot of passion and experience, and he's extremely dedicated to detail. And when I spoke with him, I said, I have a new bike, and he said, oh yeah, I've seen them all, kind of like that. And then I said, well, would you sign a non-disclosure agreement and an acceptance that this is something that is my design and that you'll look at it? It took him about a day to get back to me with that. But when I knew I had a really good thing, because when Paul finally saw the design on paper, he said to me, I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep tonight. This is the most interesting thing I've ever seen in a long time.
Yeah, a builder just gets up and goes back into his workshop and just starts working.
Well, it took us a while, because then we had to come to terms with the business side of things. We executed that, got that out of the way, and then we had to start thinking about tooling for the bike and how we would bend the rings in the rear, and that became very interesting. And if there's time, I can tell you a little bit about that.
Well, I do actually find that part interesting, because if you think about tubing, and I know a little bit about bending tubing, I don't know enough to know how you did this. This is pretty interesting.
Well, at first, Paul felt that it would be no problems to bend it a certain way, and I said, well, yeah, maybe we can do it that way, but it may be that we may require even another approach. And then within a few weeks, maybe 2 weeks of attempts, it proved that the tools commodity tools weren't doing it. So when Paul conveyed to me that the way he was bending the tubing wasn't creating the perfect smooth circle in the profile I was after, I said, well, leave it with me. I'm going to take this over for a moment. And I came back, and I was here in Detroit, of course, Detroit area, and we are automotive here with many tool and machine shops,
sure.
Many of them who are my friends. I quickly went to a friend of mine who does a lot of tooling and building of tooling, and I purchased some of the Chromoly teardrop streamlined material that we used, and we started testing crushing and bending the steel to achieve the circle in a certain way. After about four attempts with the tools for the three-point bender, which actually shapes the rings, similar to what they use for turning conduit or pipe for any other use, accidentally, in one of our attempts, because we had prepared the tool to do one thing, it did another, and I said, "Oh my God, this is exactly what I'm after.
Let's
do it this way."
The accidental
good
result.
What that was the ability to crush the inside wall of the ring so it would be perfectly flat, and when the wheel travels on that plane, it would appear to be traveling on a natural flat area of the ring, and then yet on the front, it's very sharp on the outside of the ring and more oval on the inside of the ring, and when the sharp points come together knife-like, they create a perfect bull nose. All of that worked out perfectly. We took the tooling here and we bent the Chromoly steel here. I loved the way the ring turned out. And then I built new tools for Paul Taylor's three-point bender that he borrowed from another shop. We send those to Montana, and Paul put them on his machine. He ran the material with my tools, and it was perfect, flawless. And we were just so excited that occurred. And then from there, it was a matter of building the frame and moving forward, you know.
Well, one of the questions that was asked of you a lot, and even I ask you this question, was how are you going to accommodate different sizes? The rings stay the same.
Right, that's my vision. People have suggested many other alternatives, but I'm really wanting to commit to a design that is guided by the architect and the vision to remain intact and not be, you know, thrown off in different directions. The idea of keeping the rings the exact same size, currently they're 521 millimeters or about 18 inches in diameter, is such that the visual appearance of them, no matter what bike you see, even a mountain compared to road or the like, will always have that signature ring. But
Got
then
it.
The frame in the front and the seat post on top of the rings will grow and be pushed accordingly to reach to the head tube and create a bigger frame. I've tried this by placing the rings themselves against large bikes, and all that happens is the seat post just goes a little bit more vertical, and the top tube doesn't take off at the top of the ring, but takes off in the middle of the seat post, kind of.
What kind of fork is on the one that we saw?
The forks?
Mm-hmm.
The forks are commodity edge carbon fiber
fork. Okay, it's a carbon fiber fork. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so when do you foresee this bicycle in, I assume you want it in shops?
Right, well, last evening I had a one-hour conversation with a bicycle manufacturer who I met with a couple of months ago and fell in love with this bike, and we are building production bikes in Asia that are going to be hybrid city street bikes and a 29er bike, and we will have those two demo bikes for Interbike in September.
Oh, awesome.
Yesterday I had a one-hour conversation with a well-known titanium fabricator who builds exceptional bikes and is very much excited about this bike, and I'm engaging them to build the titanium frame that will be in production and available. And an example of that will be available at Interbike, I'm convinced. The other thing that I'm doing right now is working with an individual. And again, the titanium individual and even the factory and even the carbon fiber people, we are under very good discussions, but I haven't solidified purchase order, let's say, until all of the engineering is signed off on. So when that happens, I can make public announcements of who these people are. But they're very, very good people who have worked with top-notch companies and do OEM work today. The carbon fiber is being engineered by an individual who's been in the industry a very long time, has helped some very key companies develop their carbon programs, and we are going to build a mold that will accommodate this design and then, create carbon copies of that frame. And I'm not sure about having the carbon ready for Interbike. Definitely we will have the tie and the two production units because that's well underway. But we're going to try hard, and then we'll complete the offering. And at that point, bikes can be purchase directly from us through our website, as we will provide information and opportunities to purchase a frame or even a complete bike, or from a dealer who may appreciate this bike and take it on as a product.
So you do not see that the average dealer is going to embrace the bike? Is that, I'm kind of hearing you say, going to put it on the website, because, you know, the dealer wants to make his or her margin, and of
right.
course, okay.
No, I guess I didn't mean it that way.
Okay.
I hope we asking. Have already. I've received quite a few, and I'm very impressed, to be honest, with the media coverage we received and the number of inquiries through our website already from dealers who want to know about the availability of this product.
Okay.
And all I'm saying is that we are going to partner with those dealers and work with them and hopefully have a good network. But I just don't want to be at the mercy of the dealers being the only method of to the consumer or to the market. So at the same time, provide a conduit of the product to the consumer as fast as I can and as smooth as I can. And, I mean, I personally plan on traveling the country and visiting with dealers and showing them my design, my bike, and asking them to carry it for a while and see how it goes, you know.
Yeah.
We'll make it work.
I guess I have just one or two more questions, and that is you have
a
5-month window to get to Interbike. So I can understand you could have prototypes for Interbike. From then, if you see the interest and get people test riding this bike and saying that it's doing everything that you say it does, which is, of course, your basic premise is that it's very comfortable.
And yes,
we didn't actually say that as we talked, but that was what I heard over and over again, was how much more vertically compliant without losing stiffness this frame design is. So do you think that those things will overcome some of the resistance that people might feel about, oh, it doesn't look like a regular bike? Or do you think there's another side of it that is, wow, it's pretty novel, I'm going to give it a try? Do you see
right.
both of those things?
I sure do. We were out with a gentleman by the name of Roy Wallach, who's with he's a writer with LA Times on Monday of this week in San Diego or in California. He rode the bike for an hour and loved it. And he said, I feel cool just being next to this bike. The bike is cool. This is a winner. Those were his words, and I've heard those words from other people. I think this bike will be a choice for people who want something different, and they'll buy it. It's just another bike in that regard, and it does have some qualities that will make it, introduce some improvements. The good news is this. Paul Taylor is manufacturing bikes as we speak. I've given him a purchase order to build more bikes that are available right this moment, and we will make those bikes as people would like to buy one now. So that's not a problem. The Thai manufacturer is building the bike, and as bikes are required by the public or dealer, those bikes can be delivered within days and a couple of weeks of delivery, the typical line, 4 to 6 weeks for delivery, what have you. And the production bikes, we are making the production bikes with this manufacturer. Delivery by sea from Asia may not allow us to have the container in time for Interbike. It may be a week later that they arrive. So we will have the air-flown versions of those bikes that are in the container on their way to us.
Sure.
And if dealers in Vegas at Interbike say, I kind of like the city bike and I'll try two of them, they'll be at that store within a few weeks or days.
So here's
we're doing this. It's going to be a serious endeavor.
I know you're serious. We talked all weekend. I have one more question. Without giving us a real price, can you tell us what kind of a range everything
sure.
from the Asian to the custom bikes might be, in the...
Yeah, sure. Of course. I'm really excited about... we also talked with the Asian... the Asian factory is run by a North American company who today makes thousands of bikes for a number of brands, and they're making this bike.
I can guess who that is, but okay.
Okay. It's a good situation. But let me tell you that I've asked them to make a little child's bike that
oh, cool.
is south of a couple hundred dollars.
This
does not have to be an expensive bike because it's just a shape and a form that is different. But yet, the shape and the form can be introduced in the very high-end north of $5,000.
Okay, so that gives me
$3,000. You know,
you're looking at it like this is the new shape of a bicycle.
That's really the way I'm looking at it.
I understand.
And I'm not looking at, taking any huge market share. I just would like to see if I go to a city 5 years from now and every 20th or 100th or even 1,000 bikes that goes down the street happens to be my roundtail bike that I worked so hard 5 years ago to build and bring to the market, that would make me very happy.
That's very cool. You know that,
yeah.
Lou? That's very cool.
Thank you, Diane.
Well,
my ambition.
Let's repeat the website one more time. So go ahead and let people know what that is so that if they want to take a look at the bike, they can.
Sure. It's roundtail.us is very quick, and roundtailbikes.com is also the same website. And in Canada, roundtail.ca. So we've covered our bases in ensuring that you can get to it fast, and I'm very pleased with the work my staff has done to put together an amazing website already. And we've got some other really great ideas for this industry that are going to introduce new methods of connecting consumers with cool bikes, and the price points will be from the easiest to the most exotic, depending on components and which material you want to get, you know?
All right.
So it'll be
well,
like that.
Well, you know what? We're going to be watching for Roundtails.
Well, thank you,
and
I'm going to be watching too, of course.
I will see you at Interbike.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
And I appreciate you spending some time with the Outspoken Cyclist this evening. I told you we were going to do this, and so we did.
Thank you. And I'll be the one with the big smile on my face.
Yes, you always are. Well, and good luck with your daughter's wedding this summer.
Oh, thank you, Diane.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye for now.
Thanks, Lou. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Want a round tail?
I'm not sure.
Well,
that's,
you know,
interesting design.
It was a much better understanding. I got a much better understanding talking to him now. Even though I spent 3 days at the show with him because it was insane there.
Yeah.
You know, and it was cameras and people all over the place. And he was so excited at the show. You know, I mean, he was up for the show every single minute. But now I got a better understanding of it. I haven't ridden it. I don't know anything more about it. There was a lot of skepticism from other builders, which you can well imagine.
Sure,
and
yeah.
It's sort of like...
Well, he's goring a lot of three-sided oxes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So it remains to be seen. But, you know, certainly if he's at the show and there's a test bike, what the heck? Ride one.
Yeah.
You know, it may be something new in it.
Well, he's going to, it sounds like he's going to do it in a lot of different materials. Carbon, titanium,
that's his hope.
Steel.
Right.
So, who knows?
I don't know.